This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The recent death of an anesthesiologist while returning home from a 36-hour shift at the Sungai Buloh Hospital has once again reignited the debate over overworked doctors. 27-year-old Dr. Afifa Mohamad Ghazi died of severe injuries when her car crashed into a tree in July this year. Now, was this due to fatigue or was it a freak accident? Earlier, BFM spoke to former Health Director General Tan Sri Dr. Ismail Merican, who feels fatigue should not be an issue, as doctors have the option to speak up if they're unable to carry on.
We are quite a caring fraternity in the Ministry of Health, and I'm sure in other places as well. There are people who've made some requests for transfer to another hospital, but that won't solve the problem. You know? You're just transferring the problem. But my message to these so-called overworked doctors is, if you feel that you're just too tired, you cannot go on, you're mentally fatigued and that sort of thing, go up to your supervisor and tell the particular supervisor that, look, I need a couple of hours rest. Somebody else can take over. That can be done.
However, is this really the case? We did a survey of several doctors, many of whom want to remain anonymous. They say taking breaks may not be so easy to do.
Kalau berani, you can try lah. But usually, there's a stigma that if you say something like that, it means that you're one of those lazy doctors who just want to go off and not complete his job. Easy said than done. In some hospitals, there's just not enough doctors around, especially in district hospitals. Usually they have like 4 or 5 medical officers running the whole show. There'll be 2 doctors on call. And then it's quite difficult for the one going through post-call to actually ask for a leave or take some time to rest, because they know if they don't do the job, then the other MOs will have to take over as their job. So it increases the burden of the job. So it's all about teamwork. So most of them feel like, kesian lah, I mean, takkan nak pass over to the other person when I think I can continue to complete this work.
Well, it depends on the culture of the institution. Yes, it is true that we have the option of speaking up. We can let our supervisors know how tired we are, but most do not have the guts to do it because maybe it would be perceived as being weak, incompetent, manja, lazy, and even rude to actually speak up to your superior. Senior doctors went through all of that, so some would have the attitude that if we all went through it, why can't you? But I think with time and experience, senior doctors are more empathetic and understanding about the welfare of their junior doctors. And it also depends on who is rostering their calls. You can request the days or the times that you can be on call.
Ask any doctors around here who's been through housemanship or has been going through on calls and everything. Any, each one of them will have at least one episode of them dozing off on the way back from the hospital.
You are being asked to perform 36 hours straight without sleep. You start to make mistakes.
So what are the solutions to this problem? One such suggestion is not to change the existing system, but to manage it better.
I've had a discussion with some of the doctors, and in most hospitals that we've been to, there's no proper rooms for doctors to have a rest before they go back home. So they've been requesting for proper doctor's lounge or a proper rest area. And some of them also mentioned that maybe all the major hospitals and also the district hospitals should have sort of like doctor's quarters that is within walking distance. So even though if the doctor's house is somewhere else, maybe they should have a quarters nearby so that they can have a proper rest and then they can drive back home after that.
In the absence of proper facilities for doctors to rest, one suggestion is to create an alternating shift. Doctors we surveyed, however, say this is not foolproof.
We don't really have any good alternative. With the on-call system, you know your patient best and you take care of them for one whole day. While if you try to do the alternative, like you try to put in a shift system, you need the numbers to handle a shift system. And if you don't have the numbers, then in the end, a shift system may actually be detrimental because one, the number amount of work that you're going to do during a particular shift is going to be higher. And then the problem is that you pass over cases to your colleagues in the next shift. So with more passovers, there's always that risk that you might miss things out.
Another proposal is to maintain an open dialogue, among others.
as supervisors, we need to have constant review, like a monthly appraisal or maybe a weekly, say, hey, how are you going? You know, maybe not a very formal way. Maybe have a cup of tea with your junior doctors and say, hey, how is it going? You know, what do you do during weekends? That way, you know, you break the ice and people can come forward. Other than that, the Ministry of Health has limited, you know, if you are on call, you're not supposed to do back-to-back calls, meaning if you're on call on Monday, you can't be on call on Tuesday. So the senior doctors, it's their responsibility to make sure that the on-call duties are not too close to each other. They do not work more than probably, you know, 9 consecutive hours during the day, and then if they're on call, then the next day they should get time off. And then maybe constant teaching and awareness programs about sleep hygiene and how to take care of yourself, the work balance, well-being.
In the end, these only treat the symptoms and not the root cause of the illness itself. All parties agree that the healthcare industry is flooded with too many housemen who do not get proper training due to the sheer number of medical graduates. Medical officers remain overworked as they are few in number and take on the burden of training the younger housemen. We spoke to Dr. Stephen Chow, president of the Private Medical Practitioners Federation, who says the main problem is Malaysia's push to meet the ratio of one doctor for every 400 patients.
So you see, we are producing how many? 3,000 a year now? Okay. In due course, 5,000 a year. Our training post is only about 2,000 plus a year. So there will be this issue of always insufficient training posts. You know? And it takes 2 years to train a houseman now, following which the number of medical officers' posts are also restricted. It's not unlimited. Eh? So I think this is the cause of the, you can say, the disparity in what is available and what can be used for the houseman training. So if your question is whether we are too hasty in trying to meet this whole doctor-to-patient ratio, I think we have definitely gone overboard here now.
Now, this begs the question, can the private sector be roped in to help balance out this disparity? Dr. Chow says this could be a possible solution, but it will not be easy to execute.
They're just not getting started to train. In the situation in the private sector, the patient decides on the care or his care. Okay, that's the amount of money they pay. Okay, they do not wish to be prodded by a whole host of trainee doctors, morning, afternoon, night. Would you want that? I don't think you want that too, you know. Okay. This is because it's not a public hospital. You have paid the fee for your comfort and for your care and the quality of your care. So private sector helping up in training is not doable. Okay. Unless the care in private sector is also subsidized by government. No? I think that's possible. You can have subsidized sectors in the private hospitals where patients are virtually like public patients or whatever it is. That being the situation, then the private hospitals can help. But to the sort of number, you know, you're talking about thousands, 10, 20 or 30, you know, thousands of housemen to be trained every year. You're talking about 44 or so medical schools. Okay? And don't forget the international ones.
As far as controlling the number of and quality of these housemen, Tan Sri Ismail Merican previously said, tightening entry requirements will ensure only those who have the passion for medicine and the qualifications to match are admitted to the course, as well as to regulate the number of medical schools. Dr. Chow, however, says the main problem is the disconnect between different institutions within the government.
Education, the medical schools, not under the Ministry of Health, one has to be very, very clear, no? Medical schools, the licensing, the granting of license and the number of it is under Ministry of Higher Education. And there's always this fallacy thinking that this is the fault of the Ministry of Health. No, it is not. And why are these, there's this sort of discoordination between the two ministries, we do not know. Cutting down the number of graduates, the number of medical schools is not under the purview of the Ministry of Health. I think most people have missed that point.
He warns if this is not done, the problem of overworked doctors and too many housemen will continue to plague the healthcare system. That was Dr. Stephen Chow, president of the Private Medical Practitioners Federation. I'm Nadia Aziz, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.